Our hope is not, I hope so, or I think it's going to happen. Our hope is certain. It is sure because it is based on the promises of our Father in heaven.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello and welcome, everyone. We want to get right into the study now and join Pastor Bill for the conclusion to the message, I Believe, from the New Testament Epistle of Romans.
Every day I believe. I read that scripture. I wish that'd come true. No. I believe it. I believe it. I trust in it. I cling to it. I'm fully persuaded. I believe with all of my heart. That's what we must be doing. And if you really want to read chapter 11 when you get home, you know what? You're going to find out why all those men and women in the Bible, that they were so pleasing to God. Let me just give you the scripture. It says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, without trusting in, without relying on, without being fully persuaded, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not seek a need, but seek him. Does that make sense? Oh, listen, impossible. You look up that word when you get home. You know what it means? It's impossible. It means it's unachievable. It's without possibility. It's utterly and completely hopeless. It is impossible. You say, but Bill, God loves me. Of course he loves you. But it's impossible to please him without faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's impossible to please him. Listen, I want to encourage you to do something. Don't just quote the promises of God. Believe the promises of God. Whenever you let them come out of your mouth, you just say, I believe. I'm fully persuaded. I rely on, cling to, trust in who I know. I believe. Listen, that's so important. Seeking him. You know, it's so easy for us in America. We can know our Bible. We have the internet. You can get 1,000 teachers lined up. You can get anything you need today. Oh, gosh. You can know your Bible. You can memorize your Bible. And I know, listen now, and never even know God. I mean, you know about him, but you don't, to know him, to really know him. You know, how can you know anyone unless you walk with them? The Bible says in Amos 3:3, oh, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? Amen? You can't do it. You know, to walk with the Lord, not just read about him. Doesn't the Bible say, did Jesus say, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age? Okay, is Jesus with us right now? Yes. He's right here. Behold, he said, I'll not leave you orphans. I will send you another. That word means another just like me, another helper. He's with us. I don't have his physical presence, but I have his spiritual presence. Amen? He's right here with me right now. You read the last part of the book of Mark, the 16th chapter. It says Jesus sent them out and they were all kinds of signs and wonders and things that were occurring. Why? Because Jesus was working with them. But you see, the only way that you can really know the Lord, yes, the word, but it's when, like Jesus said, follow me. That means to travel with him. That means to walk with him. If Mark, come here, Mark. If Mark and I'm sorry, you don't mind, do you? Now, if Mark and I were walking together, here, hold my hand. That doesn't mean anything weird, but, now, Mark, where were you born?
Chicago.
I'm sorry. Where at in Chicago?
South Side with the junkyard dog.
Oh, the junkyard dog. Well, and how long have you been married?
Almost 20 years.
Praise the Lord. You like me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you. Now, we just learned something, didn't we? Why? I walked with him. He spoke to me. I spoke to him. You see, when you walk with the Lord, you know what happens? Something happens. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's speaking to you. See, I don't want to just memorize scripture. I just don't want to just know the doctrines of the Bible. I want to know him. Paul cried out at the end of his life, if anyone should have known the Lord, it should have been Paul. He met him face to face. Jesus himself led Paul, saved him. And what did Paul say at the end of his life? He cried out in Philippians 3:10. He says, that I may know him. That word in the Greek is gnosko, that I want to know him intimately. I want to experience him. I want to know everything about him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Listen, it is when you walk with him that he talks to you. It is when you say, I believe, I know you're with me. I know that I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this problem. I'm not alone in this circumstance. I have all the hope of God dwelling in my heart, all the peace of God dwelling in my heart. I have all the joy. Yes. And it's imparted unto me and unto you by the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you, who has sealed you, and who will never leave you, who keeps you to the day of redemption. Amen. See, that's what it's really about. And that's why we should say, I believe. I believe everything. I believe the Bible. I believe all 66 books. I even trust in the maps, praise God. You know what I mean? I trust in everything. This is so necessary. The psalmist has said in Psalm 42:5, he says, oh, why are you cast down? Why are you just defeated? We all been there. We've all get there, don't we? Discouraged and, oh, Lord, what's going to happen? He says, oh, why are you so cast down? So he goes and he says, why are you disquieted within me? Why does everything seem to be falling apart? And listen to what he says. He says, hope in God, the God of all hope, that sure, confident, certain expectation of God's promises. That's what hope is. He says, oh no, listen, if you are discouraged, I understand. We all get there. Maybe you feel joyless right now and there's no peace in your heart. But you know what we need to do if we're going to really be honest? We need to rebuke not the devil. We need to rebuke ourselves. And we're saying, uh-oh, I'm the one, because you know what? I'm not believing that that's God's will for my life. I'm not trusting in that kind of hope and peace and joy is God's will for my life. I'm not relying on it, and I'm not even fully persuaded. Brother, sister, listen, that is wrong. It is faith that activates verse 13. It says, in believing. Oh, and that's exactly what we need. And you know, now you say, well, Bill, why is it so necessary for the believer to have that kind of hope and that kind of peace and that kind of joy in us? Those are internal fruits, aren't they? They're also divine, but they're also emotion. You know, sometimes when I have joy, you can be crying and have joy, can't you? Because you just have that joy. You can have a peace sometimes. You know, I'll go on my walk. You know me, I'm an early morning walker. It's not light yet. And I have this piece of music that at the very end, it's all piano, no singing or anything. And I always stop after my walk, sit down on my front porch and out by the street and look out because I'm getting ready to be light. And I listen to that music and I see now the squirrels are starting and the little birds. You know what I mean? I can't hear because I've got my things on, you know, but I see the wind moving. And I have such a peace because I start thanking God that I'm alive. Thanking God that he allowed me to be born, that he has a plan for my life. I say, oh God, you are so good. Why does he want all of that peace and that joy and that hope working in us? I'll tell you why. Because we live in a fallen world and the devil hates us, the world hates us, and our flesh is not for us, okay? And you know what happens? Whenever here we are, we're walking through this life, and then here comes fear and doubt and anxiety and God, where are you? And all those other things. Listen, when you have hope and that in your heart and all those joy and peace, you know what that does? It pushes all the fear and all the anxiety completely out of your mind, the place where the devil attacks you. Amen? And then they can't coexist. When you have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, those old things out there can't coexist together. No, your mind is at peace. Your heart is at peace. Oh, you may see everything falling apart, but Jesus said, my peace I've given you. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about the world. I created it. I can handle everything. He loves us. Listen carefully now. The peace and the joy and the hope from God, they are loved ones, guardians of our mind. They guard our mind. Remember what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? He said this. He said, be anxious for what? Nothing. That means absolutely nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. G. Campbell Morgan said this about prayer. He said, can you mention anything to God in your life that is big to God? Big to God. Oh, that's big. Huh, Jesus, we can't do that one, can we? No. Man, you can let all of your requests be known unto God. Listen, when you have that joy and that peace and all of that thing that's going on, you go, well, listen, I can let my request know because the word difficult or too hard is not in God's vocabulary. Amen? He says, I can do anything. He says, don't be torn apart by worry. Just pray because I love you. I hear you. I want to hear from you. Pray to me. Talk to me. Tell me your request, even though I know them. Even though I know what you need, you come and you tell me. Now listen to me. A minute ago I told you, you cannot separate God himself from God's word. Remember? Okay, if we do, you get in a lot of trouble. You're not right. You're this wrong thinking. Okay, the reason I said that is because Paul, as he continues to write in Philippians 4, 6, he now gives us a promise from God. In other words, the written word. And listen to what he says to those who believe. He says, if you will let your request know, don't be anxious for anything. He says, and the peace of God, there it is again, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Think about that. All understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. The very peace that God himself possesses, the kind of peace that is so unbelievable it passes all understanding. God says, listen, my peace, if you believe, if you really believe, if you're fully persuaded, my peace will keep you. It says, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen, the word guard literally means that God says this, if you believe this, if you really come to me, I personally, with my own personal peace, will set a military arsenal around your mind and around your heart, the place where the devil loves to attack, the place where doubt comes in. Amen? He says, oh, now listen to me. Is there anything that can disturb God's very own peace that passes all understanding? No. You see, it's a weapon for us in this world that's falling apart. They're guardians. They take care of us. Those internal divine fruits. Listen, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, here it is, putting on the breastplate of faith, meaning to rely on, cling to, trust in, being fully persuaded, the breastplate of faith and love, and listen carefully, and for the helmet, the hope, the sure, confident expectation of what God has promised that he will do. The helmet of hope. Loved one, listen, that's what we need. I believe. I believe God's word. Do you know that's all Jesus wants you to do? Isn't that amazing? I just want you to believe in me, Jesus said. God says, I sent my son into the world, my only begotten son. What? If you'll just believe in him. I want you to believe in him because if you will, you'd never perish, but you'll have everlasting life. That's all. Just believe. You know, if you study out the scriptures, that's all Jesus kept telling people over and over and over. When the woman with the issue of blood, when she said, oh, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. Remember, she was, for 12 years, she was an outcast and so forth. She comes up, boy, she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. She's made whole. She's trembling. She's freaking out. And, you know, all of a sudden, the disciples and Jesus said, who touched me? For power went out of me. Who touched me? And Peter said, oh, what do you mean you touched the Lord? Everybody's touched. Oh, no, no. Somebody touched me. Did you know that faith touches Jesus? Amen. No, it does. See, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is what we must operate in. It pleases God. And what did Jesus tell the woman? Listen, she came up and Jesus said to her, oh, daughter, be of good cheer. Your touching me has made you well. That's not what Jesus said. He said, your faith, your believing in, clinging true, being fully persuaded that I can do this for you. Does that make sense? Yes. He says, in other words, I believe. Whenever, remember, right after that, because Jairus had come to the Lord and the woman with issue of blood, he took time to heal her. And now all of a sudden the servants from Jairus' house, they come and they say, oh, don't trouble Jesus anymore, Jairus. Your daughter who's so sick, she's dead. There's no use now. Don't trouble the teacher any longer. When Jesus, it says in the word, when Jesus heard them say this, he turned to Jairus and he said this in Luke 8:50. He said, don't be afraid. I love the Lord. He said, only believe, only trust in, rely on, cling to, only be fully persuaded that she, meaning his daughter, will be made whole, healed. Only believe. Whenever the little demon-possessed boy, remember, the demon would throw him into the fire and burn him all up, and then he would throw him into the water, also try to drown him. His dad was just hopeless, didn't know what to do, and he brought him unto the Lord. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him about his little boy, he says, listen, if you can only trust in, rely on, be fully persuaded, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Do you really believe that? I believe it. I believe it. I believe what God says. God says all things. All things are possible when you're in on the plan of God. When God says, you trust me, you be fully persuaded. He said, oh, it'll come to pass. Whenever Lazarus died and Martha was all upset, you know, why? Oh, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother, he wouldn't have died, Lord. But we sent for you 3 days ago. You know, oh, you know, what did Jesus tell Martha? He told Martha in John 11:25, he said, oh, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes, there's that word again, he who believes, he who is fully persuaded in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then the King James Version says, I love the way they do it. And Jesus said to her, believest thou this? Do you believe it? Martha, do you believe that? Do you really believe I am the resurrection? Do you really believe I am the life? Loved one, listen to me. We are in a critical time in our history of in Christianity. Here we are so comfortable in America, so much suffering outside of our walls and other nations. Christians, the horrible things that are occurring. I'm going to challenge you right now, and I mean this in love. I always speak to you in love because I love you. Why are we so the church, so afraid to step out and say, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe what God has said. Why is the church so afraid of any kind of change? Not changing the way we teach God's word. We'll always teach line by line. We'll teach all the books of the Bible. But to step out and to do the things that God has told us to do. On the way back from the conferences, I've been praying much prayer lately about direction, which now I think I have it. Oh, I know I have it. The Lord, it's like the Lord said, and I don't know exactly how to say it, but in other words, when are my people? When is the church going to catch up with their calling? Do you understand? When are we going to catch up with it? When are we going to finally say, whoa, man, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. I'm a fisher of men and women. I'm a son or daughter of the living God. I'm a co-heir with Christ. When are we going to finally say, I got to catch up with what God's called me to? When are we finally going to say that? I am ready. In the Calvary Chapel board meeting in February, I told the board, I said, I will not live like this anymore. I said, we're going to move forward, come hell or high water. We're going to move forward into the things of God. Before I depart, listen, let us rise up and live. Say that word, live. Oh, that's a good word. Let's rise up and live on the edge. What do we have to lose? When you live on the edge, when you step out for God and you're on the edge, you're out of your comfort zone, you're out in the deep water. When you live on the edge, there's only one person to hold on to, yes. Jesus. Yes. Do you understand? Now, it's not like, oh, I've got it all together. No, you don't. But now why? I'm living on the edge. But why? I believe. I believe. You know, I don't mean to say something again from that movie Hook, but I'm going to. One of my favorite parts is, you know, Wendy, Granny Wendy, you know, and he goes over to Peter Banning, who's really Peter Pan, but I know he's not really Peter Pan, it's a movie. But he goes over there, and anyway, he's grown now, and so Wendy, because see, they had so many adventures. If you know anything about Peter Pan, I even have the original book. Am I sick or what? Granny Wendy looks at Peter and says, "Oh, Peter, so your adventures are all over." I'll never forget what he said. He looked at her and said, "Oh, no, Granny." He said, "To live." There's that word. He said, "To live is the awfully big adventure." You see, it's only when you step out, when the church says, "I'm rising up," the fear of God is going to fall upon this city because we are praying. We're praying that God would rend the heavens and come down and shake the nations. Amen. It's when we start living on the edge because we say, "Because I believe. I believe I can step out on the water, Lord. Bid me to come out there. If you bid me to come out and you say come, we can do it." We can walk on the word. C-O-M-E. Amen. That's how you do it. Jesus told us in John 14:12, he said this, he said, "Oh, listen, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes, trusts, who's fully persuaded, believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father." That is an adventure. Greater work, that is an adventure to step out and say, "I believe." No matter where you are, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter where you say, "Everything is falling apart. I've lost my job. I don't have any money." I've been there. I know that God will provide. I believe. I've seen it. I don't have to doubt anymore. I don't have to be discouraged anymore. I don't have to look at anything but the author and finisher of my faith. His name is Jesus. I believe. Say that with me. I believe. I believe all that God has said. I know it's time to go. You know, I remember a story. Oh, do you have 2 minutes?
Yes.
I remember reading a story about faith one time back in the 1800s or whatever. And there was these two kids in London. Well, one had been hit by a truck, horribly, horribly mangled. And the other one was horrible fever. They were dying. And they were in the hospital. And they were in cots there at the hospital. And they were side by side. And it says here, let me read. He says, "And the second one said to the first one," he says, "Say, Willie, I was down to the mission Sunday school. And they told me about Jesus. I believe if you ask Jesus, he will help you." Talking to the boy that was so mangled from that truck hitting him. "And they said, if we believe, if you're fully persuaded, if we believe in him and pray to God, then when we die, he'll come and take us with him to heaven." And Willie replied, "Well, but what if I'm asleep when he comes and I can't ask him?" He said, "Well, listen, just hold up your hand. That's what we did in Sunday school. I guess Jesus, he just must see it." Since Willie was too weak to hold up his arm, the other boy propped it up for him on the pillow. Then he died. Oh, why does that affect me? When they found it, true story, his arm was still propped up. That's what faith is. You believe. You trust him no matter what you're facing. If you don't know Jesus, all you have to do is say, "Jesus, see my hand. Save me." Confessing, say, "Jesus, be my Lord." Believe it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. Then God will save.
Thank you for listening with us today. And just a reminder, Pastor's series from Romans continues on our next broadcast. So please tune in once again, won't you? God bless, and so long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our 3 services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.